Kenneth, thanks for being here.
No problem. Glad to be here.
How did you get started with this subject? Why religion?
Well, our lab studies social motivation. We often study why people believe the things that they believe and how that motivation plays out in their behavior. And so it's interesting to us that religious belief is so widespread, but still so varied. Literally thousands of religious and supernatural beliefs have emerged over the course of history. And in today's world, a majority of people are devoted to the deities of Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and many others. But at the same time, you know, there's a growing number of people who also report having no religious beliefs. So such convictions, both religious and skeptical, raise important questions about the function of religion, questions like what motivates religious belief and faith in the supernatural, and when that motivation is triggered, how might our prior beliefs, whether religious or skeptical, determine which gods, if any, we might believe in?
And you start with the notion that one of the reasons religion exists is to help people cope with death, to deal with the fact that life will someday end. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we started with sort of an old idea that religious belief is motivated, at least in part, by the awareness of death. And that idea has some pretty strong philosophical roots that go back a long, long way. But in recent times, over the past 25 plus years or so, a lot of social psychological research has revealed some of the ways that people use their cultural belief systems to help quell the subtle and often not even conscious awareness of mortality. Now, the basic theory here is that somewhere along the line in our history, humans developed rather sophisticated cognitive abilities, likely because it was evolutionarily advantageous to organize ourselves and plan for the future. And as a result of those new cognitive abilities, we could now recognize ourselves and our future and recognize that we're impermanent, that we will one day die. And obviously, you know, that's a problem. And now here's where the theory, though, really comes into play. It argues that the awareness of our impermanence, our mortality, motivates us to maintain and participate in cultural systems of beliefs and values that offer us a sense of permanence. So from this view, religious beliefs are said to have emerged and are so widespread because they help people manage the awareness of death by directly denying death with supernatural beliefs about literal immortality. And each religion offers, of course, its own version of it, from Christian heaven to Islamic gardens of paradise to Hindu salvation and so on and so on.
And tell me a little more about the research that's at the foundation of your study and the other knowledge you were building on.
Sure. Well, aside from the philosophical work, a large amount of correlational experimental research evidence attests to the basic theoretical idea that people use their cultural beliefs to help manage our awareness of mortality. But there was a bit of controversy about how individuals' prior beliefs, whether religious or skeptical, might influence the patterns of such motivated religiosity. And so one perspective was basically the no atheist in foxholes argument, the argument that the awareness of mortality essentially makes people believe in any supernatural belief, whether it's God, Allah, or Krishna, regardless of whether a person was initially Christian, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, or so on. A second perspective basically argued the same, but allowed for the fact that atheists simply don't accept religious or supernatural concepts as valid. And then a third perspective was arguing, grounded in a coping mechanism called the worldview defense mechanism, that basically where people can manage the awareness of death by taking part in cultural worldviews that offered an opportunity for literal permanence, such as heaven, or symbolic permanence, such as being part of a form of a legacy, whether in our families, nations, sports, academics, etc. And this worldview defense hypothesis predicts that the awareness of mortality should increase people's faith in their own initial beliefs and increase their rejection of alternative belief systems that might undermine those beliefs. So, for example, if a person followed a particular religion, let's call it religion X, then even the subtle awareness of mortality should motivate an increased faith in that set of beliefs and motivate rejection of alternative belief systems, for example, religion Y or Z. And similarly, atheists whose worldview holds that, you know, supernatural things essentially don't exist would be expected to remain squarely invested in their secular pursuits and not increase faith in religious and supernatural beliefs. So careful experimental work was still needed on the question of religion.
And then how did you test these ideas?
Well, we tested the ideas across a series of studies with distinct samples of Christians, Muslims, and atheists. Half of each group were reminded of a control topic, and the other half were reminded of death. Then some brief distractor tasks were given, and then they rated their general religiosity, so like how religious they believe themselves to be and their faith in a higher power. And they also rated their faith in a number of supernatural agents taken from several religions, such as God and Jesus from Christianity, Allah from Islam, and Buddha from Buddhism.
Summarize what you learned from the religious groups, specifically the Christians and the Muslims.
Sure. So the findings from those samples were basically consistent with the worldview defense hypothesis, in which individuals' pre-existing worldviews guided their patterns of motivated religiosity and supernatural agent beliefs. So among the Christian sample, for instance, those reminded of death compared to the control topic increased general religiosity and strengthened their faith in God and Jesus, but increased rejection of the Muslim and Buddhist faith. And then a conceptually similar process occurred among the Muslim sample, where Muslims reminded of mortality compared to the control topic increased their general religiosity and strengthened their faith in Allah, but increased rejection of the Christian and Buddhist faiths.
And then you also studied atheists. What did you learn from that group?
Again, findings were consistent with the worldview defense hypothesis. The atheist sample flatly rejected all religious and supernatural beliefs, regardless of whether or not they were reminded of mortality, reflecting their investment in secular worldviews. And this result obviously conflicts with the no atheist in foxholes hypothesis and is instead consistent with observations that there are, in fact, atheists in foxholes, right? There's even groups that have formed of atheists in military, such as Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, Military Atheists and Secular Humanists, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and so on. And the finding was also consistent with research examining atheists' end-of-life preferences, in which atheists were adamant that healthcare workers respect their rejection of religion and not do things like bedside proselytizing, and just basically recognize their secular value instead.
And then you also studied agnostics. What was the takeaway from that study?
Yeah, the agnostic issue was really one of the more interesting findings of the research. So to give a little background, you know, in the 1600s, this theologian named Blaise Pascal wrote this really famous passage called The Wager, where he tried to make the case for Christian faith in the face of the doubt of agnosticism, and basically said, look, okay, if you can't know whether God exists or doesn't exist, then it's in your best interest to believe in God anyway, because if God doesn't exist and you believe, you lose nothing. But if God does exist and you don't believe, you lose a chance at eternal life. But the trouble with Pascal's wager argument is that the agnostic doubt applies to literally every deity in history. So if you believe, it, as agnostics do, that it's impossible for any natural being to know for certain about the supernatural, then it's possible that any religion could have gotten it right about God or other supernatural beings. And sure enough, in our experiments, when the agnostic sample was reminded of mortality, they not only increased faith in the Christian deities, as Pascal might have hoped, but they also increased faith in all the other available religions, such as Islam and Buddhism. So in a sense, they made the wager, but they hedged their bets by increasing faith in a variety of possible religions.
Overall, your research seeks to answer two questions. How does awareness of death influence belief in the supernatural? And how do people's prior beliefs, whether in a higher power or lack of higher power, influence faith in the supernatural? Based on your research, what's the answer?
Well, there's a few takeaway messages here. The first is that religious and supernatural beliefs appear to be motivated, at least in part, by the human need to deal with our awareness of our own mortality. A second takeaway is that the motivation to manage the awareness of death can lead individuals to strengthen and defend their own religious beliefs. And finally, you know, we learned that it's possible for this process to operate on individuals with secular worldviews and not necessarily lead to explicit religious outcomes.
Practically speaking, what do we as people do with this information?
Well, it's pretty simple. Learn and gain a better understanding about the reasons why we believe the things that we believe. So this research is just the latest in a large and growing set of research findings that suggests that we humans may not be actually following our cultural beliefs because of any inherent truth, like with a capital T, associated with them, but rather that we might actually be following them because they help us, deal with the reality of our own impermanence and thus serve an important psychological function that helps us go about our day.
So what comes next in this kind of research? What questions still need to be answered?
Well, one of the next steps here involves the responses of the religious groups and building on what we learned about those. So here, the subtle death reminders basically motivated them to believe more strongly in their own religion and more strongly reject the alternatives or competing religions. And so it's not hard to see how such a motivating factor could really make it difficult for different religious groups to get along, right? So this research really kind of cuts to the heart of what some people might call the culture wars. And I think future research along the lines of our own will be helpful in that it'll allow us to better understand why our cultural and religious differences often become such a point of contention and conflict in the first place. And of course, you know, that's a step towards better understanding ourselves and resolving some of the problems that we create for ourselves. A second question that comes out of our research would involve looking at more closely at the responses of the skeptics. The atheists, at least in our research, were able to manage the awareness of mortality without relying on religious beliefs, which, of course, is consistent with their worldview that rejects supernatural things and maintains an investment in secular worldviews. But, that seems to be an emerging trend among the younger generations with polls, showing that, there's a growing number of what are called religious nuns, those with no religious belief, among the newer generations, as well as a massive advance in our rational understanding of the world through medical and scientific progress. So we kind of see this, one of these next steps from this type of research would be to sort of follow that trend and learn more about how people might be making use of the available secular worldviews exclusively without religion to manage their awareness of mortality. And, some potential research avenues that might explore that, might look towards how that trend would change the landscape of mental health, pro-social and charitable activity, scientific progress, peace and conflict, and, the list just goes on and on.
Right. Well, I think that's about all we have time for. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.